Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Texas and Oklahoma recently reached out to the SEC about joining the SEC. Included in the story is this line: an announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning the potential addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the league, this high-ranking source said. This is from the Houston Chronicle. Brett Zwerneman, who covers, I believe, Texas A&M for the Chronicle. That's a bombshell if it's true. I mean, that would disintegrate the Big 12. Yeah.
Okay, now we're blowing up on Slack right now within our CBS channel because I just looked it up as you were talking about that, and I found the tweet from Zwerneman, who's really good covering A&M. So, he covers A&M primarily.
When a newspaper goes with one source, one high-ranking source,
that's a good source.
Like, he's a good reporter too. So
yes.
this is big time. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I know what's going to be brought up as Jimbo comes to the podium, literally in minutes. Hey, you guys are potentially going to be facing, you know, 2-year-old rivals here in the years to come. Wow. That's going to be interesting to see if he's been briefed on that at all. I'm sure he'll deflect, but,
I don't know if it would blow up the Big 12, but especially with this new playoff coming.
Absolutely, it would. Think about what is the Big 12 if it doesn't have those two schools?
I'd like to just take a moment here.
You want to take a breath?
Take a moment, raise my hand, and just congratulate myself.
Oh, gosh.
When this 12-team playoff came out and they started saying...
You did mention, I wonder what Texas and Oklahoma are going to do.
I mentioned specifically not only Texas and Oklahoma, the fact that they did not specify certain conferences, I did find myself wondering, what if that means conferences look different when this playoff comes through? Because I knew the old Big 12 grant of rights was up in 2024.
Yeah, this is obviously groundbreaking, and immediately, right, we've got to go to what could the dominoes be? Obviously, thinking way down the line here, all this is speculative. We've heard about the potential for conference realignment that never comes to fruition.
Could this finally be the day of super conferences? We've always heard about super conferences.
Well, where does the Big 12 look if they decide that, you know, they want to gear up and stay in the game? I mean, do they go back to Memphis, or is that ship sailed entirely now? Do they look, you know, to the Pac-12 and some programs out there that are looking, you know, to boost their profile? I don't know.
My gut tells me it's more like schools like Oklahoma State. And they'll find new homes rather than the Big 12 being able to survive something like this.
That's true. That's a good point. This bombshell is an apt term to describe a story of that magnitude. And so definitely interested to see, you know, what comes of that in the coming hours.
If you're the SEC, is this a no-brainer? If, like, Texas and Oklahoma, yes, no-brainer?
No questions asked.
Yeah.
Because, more importantly, Texas is going to be coming in on your terms. Like, that's the whole thing about the Big 12 is that Texas has always dictated the terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but what about the Longhorn Network? I could see that being a real hindrance in negotiations.
I can also see this. I could see where ESPN owns both the Longhorn Network and the brand new television contract.
It's like, we'll have a couple.
Yeah, but Alabama's not going to sit by and let Texas take in, you know, a quarter of the entire league.
Oh, no. I can see where ESPN, because the Longhorn Network has been such a massive failure from a business enterprise. I can see where there's a renegotiation / maybe a tearing up of that contract in which ESPN says, Texas, go get your money from the SEC that we're giving them, and that covers your losses.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we'll see. It's huge, and it's only appropriate, right, that this would come during this offseason where we've already seen so much upheaval in the college sports structure that immediately upon the heels of name, image, and likeness and transfer restrictions being lifted and college football playoff expansion, that something of this magnitude, you know, would come down. It just never stops. It's this news cycle in college sports over the last couple of months has been wild.
So that would give the SEC 16 teams, right? Will we get a change in divisions probably? Or would you just put Texas and Oklahoma in opposite divisions and make them cross-division rivals?
So the theory was always going to be, and Cobb, you feel free to comment, the theory was always going to be that they were going to go to a pod system in which they would have, with 16 teams, they would have 14 pods. Okay. And whether or not that becomes the case, if you look at it, if they're going to do it geographically and keep divisions, most likely they're just going to do Oklahoma and Texas in the West. I believe move, Cobb, correct me if I'm wrong, was this now open up the possibility of moving both Auburn and Alabama to the East and then moving Missouri to the West? I think that evens out, right?
Yeah, because as a former Tennessee beat writer who used to have to drive to Columbia, Missouri, I can just tell you that makes no sense geographically. It gives them a chance to align geographically. But, I mean, in this era, I mean, look at the AAC, a league that doesn't have nearly the financial resources as the SEC. I mean, they send their teams, even in non-revenue sports, traveling all over. So I don't know that geography is really even that much of an issue in all this and in the way they would choose to structure the leagues. But it gives the SEC a chance to kind of rethink the way it's scheduled in football, because one of the top discussions this week at SEC Media Days has been the potential elimination of the crossover games. I mean, Dan Mullen got up there and advocated for that. And so, you know, I know from a Tennessee perspective, they would love to eliminate. Some of them, you know, some of the old-timers really cling to the third Saturday in October and play in Alabama every year. I think that's misguided at this point. So this, it would, you know, give the SEC a chance to restructure the football schedule entirely. And I think, you know, that should ultimately end up being a good thing. I don't know if anybody in the league really has the appetite to increase the number of conference games that you play every year, but you could almost do it to where you would play everybody every other year, you know, because you're looking at having 15 opponents now. And so maybe you have one, you know, permanent team that you play every year, and then you play everybody else every other year, to be honest.
Just to show you how seriously this report is already being taken, Ross Dellinger just spoke to A&M AD Ross Bjork, former Ole Miss AD, when asked about the news.
Sounds like the world's worst podcast, Ross and Ross.
Yeah, that Texas and OU could be coming to the SEC. He, quote, said, we want to be the only SEC team from the state of Texas.
Well, wow. Okay. Cobb, if you'll rewind the clocks with me, remember the first time this whole expansion thing happened? Remember one of the big holdups was because at first they were exploring the option of Clemson from the ACC and then whether or not to like re-invite Georgia Tech or whatnot and or Florida State, however it may be. The one holdup on all that was all the already member institutions from that state, they all formed their own little faction. They bounded together and said, we're not letting in anyone from our own state. So that does become interesting. Does A&M have like the same membership rights that, because those were like original members of the SEC, so they had some like certain voting rights. So this is a nice little turn back the clock.
Sankey just no commented.
Wow. Yeah, it's getting real quick.
Like it's not, this is not some bogus rumor. This is like clear. This actually, it seems when the commish is just going to no comment, like, if it wasn't true, he would say it wasn't true.
So here's
you what... Know,
go ahead, sorry, Dave.
Datelines it from Hoover, so he's there. I mean, and the fact that this is breaking right now is just phenomenal, because literally, after the break, right now, I'm looking at it, we got Jimbo Fisher coming to the podium, and I guarantee you he's going to be asked to address this, so it's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
I will say, the other fascinating aspect of this, there is the belief, and again, I've never really been able to decipher how much of it is just a narrative versus actuality. How much do you think, Cobb, Texas A&M's increased recruiting is because of the fact that they are you can stay in Texas and you can play in the SEC, you kind of get to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, it's a nice carrot, no doubt. I mean, and it also comes as Texas has failed to capitalize on A&M's exit. I mean, you know, in reality, that league should have been easier for Texas to win once Texas A&M left, and it hasn't been. You had the tail end years of Mack Brown, and then you had obviously the failed, mostly failed, you know, Tom Herman experiment here as of late, and now, you know, they're going in a new direction with Steve Sarkisian, but most people aren't giving them a chance to win that league this year, you know, still. So it's kind of been a missed opportunity for Texas, I feel like, because it didn't have to be that way. Texas A&M didn't have to increase in clout and creep up on Texas's dominance in that state, but they have because Texas has failed to capitalize on the opportunity that's been just served up to them to be a dominant force, you know, in football in that conference.
Well, and I got to say, it's just refreshing. It's good to see another sign. I know, like, we've been talking about the Delta variant a lot, and, you know, there's some, you know, the coronavirus is, you know, whatever. People are talking about it coming back a little bit here lately. We had a nice run. The return of college realignment rumors and reports, I mean, is that not a sign the pandemic is coming to an end?
Cobb, think about this. We've got realignment talk. We've got screw the bowl system talk in the last 48 hours. We've got Kiffin, you know, Kiffin reemerging himself at the public podium and whatnot. We've got Leach doing Leach things. Like, it is nice to just kind of get back and play the hits.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, I hope it stays that way. You know, I hope we can avoid the Delta variant having a big impact on the season. I don't think that's a guarantee, but it's nice not to have to focus on it. And SEC Media Days, I feel like it's been a little underwhelming to this point, but we might be on the cusp of turning a corner there because this is obviously, you know, a pretty big deal at a comically ironic time, considering, you know, that A&M is up today and, you know, the fact that Bjork was so adamant about that to Ross Dellinger, right after this breaks is pretty fantastic.
It's making the rounds. And like I said, the no comment from Sankey is the most telling to me.
Do we think, that's
he just caught off guard,
well,
no comment?
No, here's the question. Is it a no comment in that we've got we're working on a deal, you know, like when you don't talk about a deal until a deal's done? Or is that the classic no comment because – maybe it's not as far along down and you just want to see, you want to let it run wild a little bit?
Well, I think he's measured and he's careful in everything he says. And he's been pretty good, I think, as commissioner for the most part. You know, and so I would think that he wants this to get done. And I would think that a no comment on his end, it's probably a little bit of both, Jeffrey. I mean, he probably doesn't want to lend any credence to something that is not official. And the fact is, it is probably still a ways down the road. I mean, you know, if we're talking about realignment, you know, we're talking still probably another few seasons before they're actually, you know, integrated into the league. I don't know contractually, you know, what those situations are like and what all has to be done there, but it didn't just happen overnight that A&M and Missouri appeared in the SEC. I mean, that had to be a couple of years in the making. So
I would agree with that, yes.
The very beginning stages of this, you know, unfolding right now.
Well, and it sounds like the Big 12 grant of rights ends in 2025, but I think the impetus for this is the 12-team playoff because that could lead to renegotiated television deals of some kind.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting from the Oklahoma and Texas standpoint because your path to the playoff is far more feasible, I feel like, as the top dogs in the Big 12, where you can beat up on TCU and, you know, Baylor and Oklahoma State and, you know, decent programs, but teams that are not as good generally as your mid-tier SEC teams, because those schools are generally easier to beat and bolster your record with than Auburn and LSU and Ole Miss and, you know, Florida and some of the teams that we would consider, the middle upper class of the SEC. So, you know, they're thinking dollar signs, but in terms of on the field, I do wonder how, you know, Lincoln Riley and Steve Sarkisian actually feel about that, because I do think that would make their jobs harder as coaches.
Jimbo's getting up here. I wonder what this first question's going to be.
Well, you know who you really feel bad for is, like, tomorrow they say, like, there's no big names tomorrow. It's like Sam Pittman and Brian Harsin and
the Alpha Nerd,
Eli Drinkwitz. tomorrow, and they're going to have to, like, Missouri's going to have to face questions about Texas and Oklahoma, and they're just, as long as we're still in the league, that's cool.
Cobb, I do think one of my favorite Cover 3 podcast nicknames, I'll give it a nice plug to CBS Sports, calling Eli Drinkwitz the Alpha Nerd is still just one of the all-time best nicknames.
Yeah, it is. Pretty fantastic. You know who else I feel bad for as a result of all this is I would love for Clark Lee to be successful, you know, at Vanderbilt. He seems like a really genuine guy, but he seemed a little out of his element at the podium today. And boy, talk about being out of your element. I know Vandy's investing in facilities and putting some money into that football program, but my gosh, if you add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, how out of place does Vanderbilt become at that point? I mean, it's already been that way since the expansion to 14. And, you know, aside from those couple of years under James Franklin, I mean, you know, Vandy's just been so overmatched, and that would only continue to worsen for them if we add.
Here's the question, though, Cobb, because I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. Can they maybe take the Dave Clawson Wake Forest approach in that, yeah, you're not going to reach the Franklin Heights, because there were several factors at that point, like, that really mattered. Like, their permanent West opponent was Ole Miss. Like, that was the end of the Houston Nutt era. They cratered. Tennessee was at a pretty significant program low. Kentucky hadn't quite, you know, like, they were coming off the Rich Brooks era, and then they had the Joker Phillips era. Like, there were elements of them going down. Georgia was on the back half of the Rick era. So, like, all the stars aligned, and then, you know, you get this generational type coach and everything's great. That shouldn't be the expectation, in my opinion. But do you think they can be like the consistent 6-7-8 win team that, like, a Wake Forest is?
I don't think so, because Dave Clawson's an offensive mastermind who runs an intricate, detailed system that works well because of the type of, you know, student-athlete they have at Wake Forest. And I don't know really a whole lot about what David Rye is going to do as an offensive coordinator at Vanderbilt, but this is a role that he's not necessarily accustomed to. He's coming from a wide receivers coach role in the NFL. And, you know, they're just – if he's trying to do what Cliff Kingsbury does, which is, you know, somebody who's on his, you know, his coaching, you know, tree father, I guess, like, I just don't know that Vanderbilt's going to have the athletes to do that. I mean, a lot of people wanted Vandy to go to the triple option, you know, and do what Georgia Tech did to have some success in the ACC under Paul Johnson. But they went with the, you know, the alum and the defensive guy and Clark Lee. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, unless he's really struck gold with his offensive coordinator hire, I don't know that they're going to be unique enough in this era to really, you know, make hay. I mean, I think the blueprint for success, if you're Vanderbilt at this point, is to peak every 3 or 4 years when you've got a strong class of guys who have been in the program for a while who kind of matriculate to being juniors and seniors, and the chemistry all hits. I mean, that's the best hope I see for Vanderbilt at this point, is kind of, you know, once every 3 or 4 years pushing to hit that 7 or 8 win mark.
Oh, I'm just so happy. I am just so happy that we're going to – it's the return of conference realignment season. I love it. It's been gone. It's like – it was like an HBO show. It was like we were entranced by it, like The Sopranos, and then we had to wait like 3 years for the next season.
We need to put our walls up, though. Last time this got dangled in front of us,
it
was –
it got swiped away real quick.
Well, no, it was to make us not pay attention to Baylor. What was going on at Baylor?
So you think there could be some? Oh,
yeah. I'm just saying, yeah. We got to keep our antenna. I'm not saying that's what I think's happening, but I'm saying we need to let's learn from the past. Let's not go invade Russia again in the winter. It typically doesn't work out well.
Yeah, and Jimbo's actually talking about Bobby Bowden, which, you know, kind of puts a sobering spin on this moment, because obviously news is that Bobby Bowden is not doing well and has a terminal health condition, and now these reporters are going to try to change the subject and go to conference realignment, which is just kind of an awkward transition from something so serious. But it's, hey, man, it's media days for a reason, and talking season is back. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it will be. It's going to be a fun story to watch, whether it's turns out to be true or it ends up being just another rumor. But Cobb, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
That was David Cobb of CBS Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.